there are certain biblical events which we readily associate with the number 40. The flood, for example, might quickly come to mind, in connection with which it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Or perhaps 40 triggers the thought of the children of Israel wandering that many years through the wilderness. Or perhaps the number 40 makes you think of the number of days that our Lord was in the wilderness in connection with his temptation. There are also episodes in Scripture, however, which use the number 40, but with which we perhaps don't associate that number so quickly or directly. Yesterday, my ear was struck during the reading of the chapel text from 1 Samuel, which also made use of the number 40. You'll recall how we were told of the way in which Elijah was fleeing wicked Queen Jezebel, who was after his life. He ran out into the wilderness and under the broom tree was given miraculously some food to sustain him. And the text reads that he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. That number also appears in another familiar Old Testament episode where it might also not be all that readily noticed. I think you'll recognize, however, this particular verse or know of which it speaks, as it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. That Philistine, of course, was the giant of Gath, Goliath, who mocked the God of heaven and who ridiculed the people of Israel, inviting just one of them to come out and meet him on the battlefield. One can understand why the Lord recorded the intimidating dimensions of Goliath and his weaponry. It's also easy to understand why some of the dialogue is preserved for us in Scripture. But why do you suppose the Spirit included this detail, that Goliath came out for 40 long days with his taunts? It's impossible to say with certainty because the Bible itself does not elaborate on that number. But perhaps the 40 days are mentioned here to illustrate some of the generalities that can exist in the ongoing struggle between the people of God and those who oppose. Perhaps Goliath's continuous challenge of 40 days illustrate the fact that those who oppose the word of God and the people of God don't give up. One would think that after all the defeats that have been experienced by the enemies of God, they would. After Pharaoh's army is defeated, after the period during the Judges when there are so many conquests, after Jericho falls, you'd think the enemies of God would finally realize they are weak and just walk away. But opposition to the word of God and the people of God is a constant thing, because the devil's hatred for the word and God's people is an ongoing thing. He who prompts all adversaries is tireless in his desire to disrupt and destroy and damage. Goliath ridiculed daily, as does the world which surrounds us now. Perhaps the 40 long days of Goliath's taunts also illustrate the fact that God usually doesn't counterstrike immediately. There are some events in the Scriptures which do show that God did respond with his judgment in short order. In the Old Testament, for example, Korah and his accomplices met a swift end when they opposed Moses. God caused the earth to open up and swallow them in an instant. In the New Testament, Sapphira barely answered Peter's question about the sale of their property, and she was struck dead. God generally, however, is not so swift. He allowed Goliath to bellow for 40 days. And perhaps the reason God often waits is that he finds it desirable to present an opportunity or a test for his people, a test which King Saul and his armies failed miserably. We're told that when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The Lord allowed this situation with Goliath to develop, perhaps providing an opportunity for his children to stand up and show the confidence that they have in him. But what happened? That which so often happens, the visible Goliath with his large dimensions became larger in the eyes of the people than did the invisible God who is there to protect them, and their hearts cowered in weakness. Fortunately, there was one who rose to the challenge, who passed the test, and put on display what the confidence of faith looks like. David heard this taunting of the giant and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" For David, the situation was very easily analyzed. Goliath is standing in opposition to God. God is stronger than he is. God is on my side. What then do I have to fear? Had David looked to his own abilities and strengths, he too would have cowered in the tents of Israel. But instead he said with confidence, "The battle is the Lord's." And so it is today. The opposition of the devil and the world continues every morning and every evening still now. And there are many Goliaths in the world right now. Think of the many religions and their multitudes of adherents who openly rail against the message of Christ crucified, which we cherish so dearly. Think of the enormously influential liberal media of our day and age, which here in America is becoming ever bolder in its ridicule of Christ and all that the Bible teaches. These are giants. Who are we to withstand? Who are we to oppose those who oppose the truth? Well, we're nothing in ourselves. We, like David, are small compared to the forces that stand against the church. But like David, we have been given faith in the one true God. We've learned of his almighty power. We've been informed that he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so, we are also given opportunities to show the kind of courage and confidence which David showed. Even though the devil and his demons are strong, they become weak, weak-kneed, in the presence of the all-powerful word of the living God, which he has placed into our own hearts and hands. We too have been given a stone and sling, the scriptures, which can bring those who oppose to their defeated knees. Yes, even though it sometimes appears that the word of God and the people of God are being opposed successfully, the word of God cannot and will not be destroyed or broken. If the indestructibility of God's word is veiled from time to time during some present-day confrontation between the truth and falseness, its superiority and strength will be put on full display when Christ soon appears in all of his glory. So may the Spirit give us the same confidence and determination that he gave to his servant David. When the word of God and the people of God are being opposed, may he enable us to take the sword or the stone and the sling of the scripture, knowing that it ultimately wins all confrontations, regardless of the foe. Some people who learned this very well and witnessed it with joy and appreciation were those involved directly with the Reformation, who wrote many hymns expressing this confidence, one of which is 265. We sing this morning hymn 265, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Of mighty flows, who tossed and prayed. Our hope they scornfully deride, and deem us nothing in their pride. That thou art with us, Lord, proclaim. Come.